Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. Today, an empowering hour. First on health and healing and nutrition, how do we actually rejuvenate, meaning reverse the aging of our mitochondria, of our cells? I'll talk about new information, adding in to what we've already shared about L-carnosine and resveratrol. We're now going to talk about the mitochondrial dysfunction and how coenzyme Q10, PQQ, and Shilajit can make a difference. I'll be sharing some of the newest information from Michael Downey. Also, want to know about more on tart cherries? I had an interesting response yesterday after the program. When I'm on the road, I don't have a computer. In fact, I went 3 months without ever reading a newspaper, listening to radio, watching television, or even reading a single internet. Because I'm working, I'm filming, I'm driving, generally 20 hours a day, 7 days a week, and the last 2 weeks was at a retreat for our sister station, KPFK in Los Angeles. So when I'm back in the city, I do read my emails, as many as I can in a day, along with doing research, doing writing, writing commentaries. Some of those commentaries you'll hear this week, a little today. But I also want to see what people are interested in. And I must have had 30 responses about tart cherries from yesterday's program. So today I'm going to take it even further and give you even more of an explanation of what happens when you eat a cherry or drink a tart cherry concentrate or have a powder from tart cherry. It's all good. More on that. Also today, the latest on homocysteine. Homocysteine is one of the most dangerous inflammatory markers there is. If it's elevated, let's see if it's around 15, 14, 16, you could die of a heart attack. You could seem healthy. You could be a marathon runner. You could be an Olympian. But if you have an elevated homocysteine level, you are standing on that trap door that can spring and you die. So most people aren't aware that they have elevated homocysteine. People are clueless about C-reactive protein. Not after today, and you understand what you can do to get out of harm's way. That's good news. Then today, and the latter part of our program, I'll be having on a guest, Peter Roth, who is sitting with me in studio today. Peter and I have a long friendship. Peter was one of the co-founders of the Natural Living Running and Walking Club, who met here last evening. They meet in our studios. It's really wonderful. Last night, Jimmy, a retired New York City police officer, we must have 9 retired New York City police officers who are members of the club and have been for years. And we had a full room here, I'm guessing around 45 people. They have a discussion. I did a mini lecture. Then they watch a film that they wouldn't have seen otherwise. And it's just a way of keeping them focused on, you know, that running is more than just working out your legs. It's working out your mind as well. That's why we're a holistic running club, the only one in the United States. And we've been training over 28,000 people to do the New York City marathons and other races. And anyhow, it's always nice where something becomes a hub of creativity. Every single night, different groups are coming in to use the studios here, and different producers are taking on social issues. The night before, there was a whole group of filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, having a meeting here. I didn't know who they were. It had been set up by someone in the office. And they're talking about how can we as independent filmmakers get our message out. And so I offered some suggestions. And now at least, instead of being frustrated by using all their money and their parents' money, their aunts and uncles' money, their ex-wife's money, and never being spoken to again. Didn't I give you $3,000 for that hit that you were supposed to make? And what happened to it? Well, 99% of all documentaries never are shown publicly. There's never light of day. But we're going to do something to change that. As of next month, I'm starting a new program on the Progressive Radio Network of 4 documentaries. You'll see the documentary through the streaming. You'll hear the people involved in the documentary, but not necessarily the people who made the documentary, but rather people who are experts on the topic. So let's say if it was on the greed of Wall Street, I would have on Dr. Paul Craig Roberts or Michael Hudson and others to talk about the greed of Wall Street and then show the film and of course have either the director or producer on to talk about it. But it'll be a kind of a riveting, interesting introspection. And it'll be every week. So I don't want to host it because I'm already hosting 3 shows, Talk Back and Progressive Commentary Hours, where it's my noon show. So if anyone in the audience would like to apply to host the new Progressive Documentary Hour, just give us a call, and you can speak with Jason, our program director. Call 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. So starting in about 4 weeks, every single week, you will have one of the best documentaries in the world on socially relevant issues that will be shared in depth and experts with input on the topic. Something different. So it's always exciting. Every single night and day, there's something going on here till 2 in the morning. Also today, continuing from yesterday on what happens when we forget history, what happens when we do not want to seek the truth that's right in front of us, on what's happening to our youth, to college graduates, to the seniors. I just finished, I'll tell you one of the films I'm doing. The other two must be kept under wraps because they're extremely sensitive issues. And I don't want anyone sabotaging them, which they'll try to do. But one's on getting old in America. And I have filmed over 400 people around the United States. And then in other countries. And what a radical difference of when you get older in other countries, you become more valuable. People seek out your advice. You become respected. You become the wise woman or wise man. You're the catalyst. You're the anchor that stabilized the emotions of a family and of a community. Virtually every community I was in Italy, the older people literally were the ones that people sought advice from. So they always felt appreciated and they always have felt, in fact, they had mentioned this many times, essential. Compare that to the United States, where we have a minimum of 12 million senior citizens who are lonely and lost in that void before they die, where they are no longer considered essential, relevant, or needed. And we have such a disdain for dealing with these issues. And we don't. We just avoid them completely. Well, I'm taking this on. So I'm going to be doing a new program on the Progressive Radio Network every week. And it's going to be on Getting Old in America. And it'll be just like our Doug Rocky show on Gulf War veterans, which, by the way, has grown to a tremendous audience because all these Gulf War vets, by the hundreds of thousands now, know they're people caring for them, where they have a forum, and they're rocking. They're helping people. So this is going to be for all people over the age of 60. And if you would like to host it, because rather than selecting host, I'd like to get people who would love to host a show for seniors and for people getting older. Because when you get older, you meet a whole new group of challenges, some positive, some negative. But we don't have forums in our society to deal with them. We think that if you get older, it's all pain. It isn't. It's all downhill. Absolutely not true. So we want people who can show the solutions to these problems. So if you'd like to host a show on Getting Old in America, Just give us a call at 646-926-5422, 646-926-5422. So today I'm going to continue discussing the problems we face that we're not addressing in any meaningful or honest way, time permitting. Let's begin. And from Professor Henry Giroux. Now, we all need more energy. But frequently, if we've overexercised or overstressed or overworked, we have to rest for a while. And the older you get, the more rest it requires to get back to where you were. Part of that is because of the mitochondria, the mito, chondria, chondria, that's your energy cell. That's where the power that allows you to stay alive comes from. Now, when you drink alcohol in any amount, and when you eat toxic foods, chemical foods, pesticides, fertilizers, you create a toxic reaction on the mitochondria, and it literally splits it. It opens, and what's called mega channeling, the internal material kind of oozes out, and it dies. But you don't feel it. Not for a while. Sometimes not for years. And then one day, all you do is feel it. You just feel depressed because you don't have the energy, the vigor, the vitality, the stamina. So one of the reasons that we live shorter lives than what we should by at least 30 years is because the energy-producing cellular powerhouses called the mitochondria are not getting the nutrients they need. So how can you naturally boost, even add on new DNA that becomes permanent? Well, three things. First is coenzyme Q10. Second is PQQ, which creates new mitochondria, and then support the protection of the mitochondria defense with what is called chelicit. And that is important. Now, I've already told you on other programs how to stop the damage. If you just did the following, if you lowered your C-reactive protein, homocysteine, fibrinogen, if you also got your HDL higher and your LDL lower, if you lowered your blood pressure, if you lowered your resting or fasting glucose level, let's say down to around 75, from where it's probably now around 100 to 130, pre-diabetic or diabetic. If you got rid of the fried food, coffee, alcohol, artificial sweeteners, and chemicals, pesticides, meaning if you went organic and went vegan, I'm guesstimating that you could add about 20 quality years to your lifespan and obviate the diseases that we associate with that premature aging. Now let's be very specific. Inside your cells, the mitochondria are responsible for producing our primary source of energy, what is called ATP, adenosine triphosphate. Now the ATP provides at least 95% of the cellular energy, and that's what allows you to be able to contract a muscle, to run, to walk, to get up and feel vital. The byproduct of this energy generation is the formation of a huge amount of free radicals. So here's how it works. The more energy you expend, the more free radicals you create. So yesterday when I was with the running and walking club and we did two loops around the park or 12 miles, that really helps the heart, lowers your pulse rate. My pulse rate yesterday, I had everything measured. Pedance 1.5. 185, pulse 50, and blood pressure I won't tell because most people think it's low, but it's actually not low. It's what ideally it should be. And then homocysteine down, C-reactive protein down, had all this checked. But that's all because of that exercise. But you also create a lot of free radicals, which means that you can literally speed up the aging of the cell at the same time that you're making the cell healthier. Now, for a lot of people, they think that's not possible. It's almost oxymoronic. how can you hurt a cell at the same time you're helping the cell? Well, because when you're burning up the fat inside the cell, you're lowering your body mass index. The lower that body mass index to its ideal level, the longer you're going to live. We literally can predict the higher incidence of heart attacks and strokes and cancer and diabetes in people who have a pot belly. You know, the big hips, the big butt. That means you have too much fat. So if you exercise and you burn down that fat, that means you're less likely to have that heart attack and some of the other conditions. You also, if you took your pulse right now for 60 seconds, I'm willing to bet most of you it's around 75 to 85. That's not good. Imagine this. Imagine that every organ of your body has in it a biological clock. So you only have so many beats, and then that heart stops. We never think of that, but that's a reality. So if my heart is beating at 80 beats a minute, my heart's going to end its life sooner than if it were at 50 beats per minute. In fact, going from 80 to 50 could add 30 years onto your lifespan of the heart. So that's why the exercising brings down your pulse rate, and that means you have healthier circulation. Bringing down your blood pressure also helps as well. So that's why you have to compensate. So the free radicals that are bad, I will take antioxidants like vitamin C, vitamin E, coenzyme Q10, lycopene, a glass of watermelon juice, and that floods my body with antioxidants that traps those extra free radicals, and therefore I get all the good benefits of exercise, and I don't get the bad benefits of oxidative stress, which comes from that. So just remember, the more you exert, the more free radicals you create. Just so you understand, a free radical is a molecule that possesses a free electron, a property that makes them react with other molecules in volatile and highly destructive ways. And free radicals attack the structure of our cell membranes, creating metabolic waste products that disturb the DNA and RNA production and interfere with the synthesis of protein and destroy important cellular enzymes. And vital tissues and molecules decay under assault of free radicals. In addition, free radical disruption of cell membranes creates mutant cells, and mutant cells create premature aging, and that also creates cancer. So mitochondria are the easiest targets of free radicals. They're located exactly where these free radicals are produced, and they lack most of the antioxidant defenses found in the other parts of the body. So the evidence strongly indicates, according to the latest research in life extension on this topic, that over time, the accumulated damage to the DNA of the mitochondria in particular leads directly to metabolic disorders such as diabetes, degenerative disease like Alzheimer's. So mitochondrial dysfunction is primarily seen in organs and tissues that have a high demand for energy: heart, brain, eyes. So when we're young, we're largely protected against mitochondrial degeneration because our bodies produce substances to defend mitochondria from the onset of free radicals. However, as you get older, that protection diminishes, and that sets you up for the destructive cycle that accelerates aging and disease. So what can we do? What's the good news here? All right. The rate of cellular aging production of two free radicals, superoxide anions and hydrogen peroxide, that increases attacks on the mitochondria. So the more antioxidants you get, the more this is trapped and the less you're going to have damage. So what does coenzyme Q do? Well, in comes a good defense. The more coenzyme Q that you have in your body, the more natural defense for the mitochondria. That means then that you're going to have the mitochondria living longer. And that's important. Scientists have established that coenzyme Q10 is an essential nutrient for normal mitochondrial function, namely the production and transfer of energy. And when coenzyme Q10 levels fall, the mitochondria dysfunction skyrockets. Many studies have found that boosting coenzyme Q levels by taking 200, 400, 600, 1,000 milligrams a day I increase mitochondrial electron transport, and that is important. Quite simply, it helps you slow down the aging process. So that's good. That's what you need. So the more that you have, and I'm suggesting 300 milligrams or more. Now we have the second part of this, protecting, and that is PQQ. And while coenzyme Q10 optimizes mitochondrial function and protects them from free radical damage, the scientists have found another coenzyme that triggers the creation of new, let's underline new, mitochondrial altogether. And there's a lot of it. And the PQQ activates genes that induce mitochondrial biogenesis, the spontaneous formation of new mitochondria in aging cells. This is a major breakthrough in the battle of aging. Major breakthrough in the battle of people with chronic fatigue and fatigue of any kind. So by using DNA as an example, Q10 protects your DNA, PQQ creates new DNA. Because when your PQQ deficiency has been shown, it has a profound effect on your genes and your cellular stress and cellular signaling and transport of metabolites, etc. So I'm suggesting 20 milligrams a day of this. And by the way, just to give you an example of this, the latest research shows that PQQ is 5,000 times more effective than vitamin C. Let me repeat that. Research demonstrates that PQQ is up to 5,000 times more efficient at reducing oxidation than other common antioxidants like vitamin C. So get the point here. And there's a revealing study. Scientists reported that similar protection of mitochondrial function that is seen with some other compounds like quercetin, resveratrol, at high dietary concentrations measures in millimoles occurs with PQQ at dietary concentration measures in nanomoles. In other words, it takes a million times more of these other compounds to have a mitochondrial protective effect than the equivalent to PQQ. So it's in a class by itself. So protect your brain, protect your heart with PQQ. And also, it's been shown to block the development of abnormal proteins linked with neurodegenerative diseases. For example, it prevents cellular damage and demise due to accumulation of amyloid beta protein associated with Alzheimer's and the alpha synuclein protein that's associated with Parkinson's. I'm going to say 20 milligrams a day of PQQ could significantly improve cognitive function in middle-aged, meaning 40 and over, and elderly persons. And I'm going to say the lowest amount of Q10 should be 300 milligrams a day to protect yourself. Now, there's one other nutrient that I mentioned. It's called Shilajit, Shilajit, and it revitalizes Q10. Again, I've already mentioned coenzyme Q10 protects mitochondria from free radical damage. It does this by depleting itself, by donating its own electrons, and thus it neutralizing the flood of free radicals generated during cellular energy production. And, of course, that depletes your stores. Well, studies have shown that this phytomineral substance found in the Himalayas stabilizes and revitalizes and preserves coenzyme Q10 in its active ubiquinol form, boosting its levels. So it really is powerful. So that's how we end up helping ourselves. And one other thing on homocysteine, as I promised earlier. An article published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition reports the finding of a protective effect of higher levels of vitamin B12 and folate coming from folic acid against a risk of developing age-related macular degeneration, and the study also revealed a greater risk of the age-related macular degeneration associated with higher levels of homocysteine. They looked at 1,390 individuals in the Blue Mountains Eye Study and found that those who took the higher amounts of B12 and folic acid were 56% greater protected from the homocysteine elevated. Now, what would I suggest you do to reduce your risk of homocysteine and a heart attack or stroke that comes from it? Five things. First and foremost, get off all meat. Alcohol. Those two things and will skyrocket it. Next, take higher levels of folic acid, B6, trimethylglycine, and vitamin E and B12. Those are your most important nutrients for lowering homocysteine level. Now, I'm not going to tell you the level you should take because each person is different. Depends upon what caused your elevated homocysteine, your age. But generally, you'll want a milligram of methylated B12 and a milligram of folic acid, and anywhere between 100 to 400 B6 and trimethylglycine 1,000 to 2,000 a day, and vitamin E between 400 to 800. But your healthcare provider will guide you in that. I'm just giving you some ranges that you'll know you're falling in those ranges. All right? That's the latest on health and nutrition. That's the first almost half of our program. We're going to take a brief break and come back. I have a couple commentaries to share with you, a guest, and then open calls.
You better stop, dogging me around. If you don't stop, I'm gonna put you down. Much longer, my heart's getting weak, it's not getting any stronger.
Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall. More and more people are listening over their computers to this program, and you can go to prn.fm and listen live, tune in, website, download your program on iTunes, or listen on your mobile at a Stitcher app or TuneIn app, and listen over the telephone anywhere in North America, including Canada, 619-550-0869, 619-550-0869. Now, I'm only going to take 2 minutes. That's it, 2 minutes, to give you our special of the day, so no one else on this entire radio station has to raise any money. And here it is. Garcinia Cambogia. Much higher potency and vegan and non-GMO and gluten-free from any of the other ones I've seen in the marketplace. And you're going to get the bottle of this, plus you're going to get this film, this documentary, Diet for a Lifetime. And in here you're going to learn how to get rid of the toxins in your environment and how to make the most nutritious meals and juices and exercise. This is all free. This is a $40 value free. You're getting both the Cambodia Garcia extract and the film together for $17.99. Now, normally, just the Garcinia Cambogia by itself is $27. And if you've seen any of them in the drugstores, those are lower potency. This is the big potency. This is the 1,500 milligrams. And this has got 60% yielding hydroxycitric acid, the active ingredient. So, mind you, you're already getting almost 40% off, almost 50% off, no, 40% off the bottle itself, plus you're getting a free film. Now, instead of me telling you about Garcinia Cambogia, Dr. Oz has something to say about it. Listen to what he says.
Green coffee, it's the most talked about topic. Everybody wants to know what's the newest, fastest fat buster. You've been stopping me on the street, emailing me. Even my family is asking the same question. How can I burn fat without spending every waking moment exercising and dieting? I just don't have any time to put in more effort. Well, thanks to brand new scientific research, I can tell you about a revolutionary fat buster. You're hearing it here first. It's called Garcinia cambogia, a pumpkin-shaped fruit that grows in Southeast Asia and India. And it just might be the most exciting breakthrough in natural weight loss to date. Revolutionary new research says it could be the magic ingredient that lets you lose weight without diet or exercise. Dr. Harry Preuss is at the forefront of the research.
The ideal weight loss program is one in which you lose fat and you retain your muscle or even build it. With Garcinia, we can make that happen. I tell women, look at your dress size. If your figure is getting much smaller, that's exactly what you want.
Garcinia is an exceptionally effective fat buster. It inhibits the production of fat in the body, and when the body's not making fat, it's burning fat.
Could Garcinia cambogia be the fat-busting breakthrough you've been waiting for?
So that's a little bit on Garcinia cambogia. Vegan capsules, 90 of them, and a documentary for free. So you're saving, what are you saving, about $50? It's only, your cost is only $17.99. Call this number now, 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, or you can drop in at the office and pick them up. At the start of the second decade of the 21st century, young people all over the world are demonstrating against a variety of issues ranging from economic injustice and massive inequality to drastic cuts in education and public services. These demonstrations have and currently are being met with state-sanctioned violence and an almost pathological refusal to hear their demands. More specifically, the United States, the state monopoly on the use of violence, has intensified since the 1980s, and in the process has been increasingly directed against young people and low-income whites, poor minorities, immigrants, and women. As the welfare state is hollowed out, a culture of compassion is replaced by a culture of violence, cruelty, and disposability. Collective insurance policies and social protections have given way to forces of economic deregulation and the transformation of the welfare state into punitive workfare programs, the privatization of public goods, and an appeal to individual accountability as a substitute for social responsibility. Under the notion that unregulated market-driven values and relations should shape every domain of human life, the business model of governance has eviscerated any viable notion of social responsibility while furthering the criminalization of social problems and cutbacks in basic social services, especially for the poor and young people and the elderly. Within the existing neoliberal historical conjecture, there is a merging of violence and governance and the systemic disinvestment in and breakdown of institutions and public spheres that have provided the minimum conditions for democracy. This becomes obvious in the emergence of a surveillance state in which the social media not only become new platforms for the invasion of privacy, but further legitimate a culture in which monitoring functions are viewed as benign, while the state-sponsored society of hyper-fear increasingly defines everyone as either a snitch or a terrorist. Everyone, especially minorities of race and ethnicity, now live under a surveillance in which living under constant surveillance means living as criminals. As young people make diverse claims on the promise of a radical democracy, articulating what a fair and just world might be, they are increasingly met with forms of physical, ideological, and structural violence. Abandoned by the existing political system, young people in Oakland, California, New York City, Quebec, and numerous other cities throughout the globe have placed their bodies on the line, protesting peacefully while trying to produce a new language, a politic, an image, long-term institution that will protect them. But it doesn't. In fact, Instead of supporting these notions of community that manifest the values of equality and mutual respect that they see missing in a world that is structured in neoliberal principles, in Quebec, in spite of police violence and threats, thousands of students demonstrated for months against a former right-wing government that wanted to raise tuition and cut social protections. These demonstrations are continuing in a variety of countries throughout the globe, and embrace an investment in a new understanding of the commons as a shared space of knowledge, debate, exchange, and participation. Such movements, however diverse, are not simply about addressing current injustices and reclaiming space, but also about producing new ideas, generating new conversation, and introducing a new political language. Rejecting the notion that democracy and markets are the same, young people are calling for an end to the poverty, grotesque levels of economic inequality, the suppression of dissent, and the permanent war state. They refuse to be defined exclusively as consumers rather than as workers, and they reject the notion that the only interests that matters are monetary. They also oppose those market-driven values and practices aimed at both creating radically individualized subjects and undermining those public spheres that create bonds of solidarity that reinforce a commitment to the common good. And these movements all refuse the notion that financialization defines the only acceptable definition of exchange, one that is based exclusively on the reductionist notion of buying and selling. Marginalized youth and workers and artists and others are raising serious questions about the violence of inequality and the social order that legitimizes it. They are calling for a redistribution of power, not within the old system, but in a new one in which democracy becomes more than a slogan or a legitimate way for authoritarianism and to create state violence. As Stanley Arnowitz and Angela Davis, among others, have argued, the fight for education and justice is inseparable from the struggle for economic equality and human dignity and security and the challenge of developing American institutions along broad-based movements of solidarity and alternative conceptions of politics, democracy, and justice. All of these issues are important, but what must be addressed is, in the most immediate sense, is a threat that the emerging police state in the United States poses not just to young protesters occupying a number of American cities at different times, though that movement is fairly over, but also the threat it poses to democracy itself. This threat is being exacerbated as a result of the merging of a warlike mentality and neoliberal mode of discipline and education in which it becomes difficult to reclaim the language of obligation and social responsibility and civic engagement. Everywhere we look, we see encroaching the shadow of the police state. The government now requisitions the public's telephone records and sifts through its emails. It labels whistleblowers such as Edward Snowden as traitors, even though they have exposed the corruption, lawlessness, and host of anti-democratic practices engaged in by established governments. Police can take DNA samples of all people arrested of a crime, whether they are proven guilty or not. The United States is incarcerating people in record numbers, imprisoning over 2.3 million inmates, while 6 million people at any given time are under the correctional supervision, much more than was even possible in Stalin's gulags. While there has been considerable coverage in the progressive media given to the violence that was waged against the Occupy movement and other protesters, I want to build on these analyses by arguing that it is important to situate such violence within a broader set of categories that enables a critical understanding of not only the underlying social, economic, and political forces at work in such assaults, but also allows us to reflect critically on the distinctiveness of the current historical period in which they are taking place. For example, it is difficult to address such state-sponsored violence against young people without analyzing the de-evolution of the social state and the corresponding rise of the war state and the punishing state. Stuart Hall's reworking of Gramsci's notion of conjuncture is important here because it provides both an opening into the forces shaping a particular historical moment while allowing for a merging of theory and strategy. Conjuncture in this case refers to a period in which different elements of society come together to produce a unique fusion of the economic, social, political, ideological, and cultural in a relative settlement that becomes a defining reality. That ruptural unity is today marked by a neoliberal conjuncture. In this particular historical moment, the notion of conjuncture helps to address, theoretically, how youth protests are largely related to a historically specific neoliberal project that promotes vast inequalities in income and wealth, creates the student loan debt bomb, eliminates much-needed social programs, eviscerates the social wage, the living wage, and privileges and profits and commodities become more important than people. Within the United States especially, the often violent response to nonviolent forms of youth protest must be analyzed within the framework of a mammoth military-industrial spy complex and its commitment to war and militarization of the entire society. The emerging of the military-industrial complex, the surveillance state, the unbridled corporate power, the total corruption of all political office points to the need for strategies that address what is specific about the current warfare and surveillance state in the neoliberal project and how different interests and modes of power and social relations and public power grabbers and economic configurations come together, all working in this incestuous, deplorable, disgusting way to maintain power at all cost. Such a conjuncture is invaluable politically in that it provides a theoretical opening for making the practices of the warfare state in the neoliberal revolution visible in order to give it resistance. On upcoming programs, I will then unveil who controls the world as a way of bringing all these different individuals, corporations, think tanks into one place so you can see who are they, and then you'll be reminded of who are we? We are the people. They are the power. We have power. We've given it to them. Why did we give them our power? Why do we keep putting the worst sociopaths in office, from the president to the mayors, to the governors, to the senators? Because we have not understood the nature of our own power. I will explore that on upcoming programs. Back in a moment. Please stay with me. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting live and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. You can watch today's program by going to ustream.tv and then search for Gary Knoll. Joining me in studio in a moment will be Peter Roth. He's sitting here, but also just came in the studio is Lou Ann Panessi. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary. Well, we have it's a busy time for me. We have a lot of calls coming in for the upcoming retreat. Very nice people. You've got amazing people in your audience, people who are paying attention, people who want to make changes, people who are just excited about taking a week off for themselves. So I have a couple of spots open. We had two spots open up unexpectedly. So if anyone is interested, I'm going to give you my home office number. It's 631-504-6198. That's 631-504-6198. Give me a call. I'll tell you all about it. It's going to be a blast.
August 18th for 1 week. This is a follow-up to the wonderful, very successful retreat that we just had for our listeners on KPFK in Los Angeles to help them as a fundraiser. This is also a fundraiser for WBAI and WPFW in Washington and New York. I'm donating my time. You're donating your time. Others are doing the same, so it can be kept at only $2,000. Normally, this would cost for all that they're getting, the yoga classes twice a day, meditation, energy work, artist healing, cooking classes on gourmet vegan cooking, power walking, personal training, water aerobics, biking, meditation gardens, all the things they can do, juicing all day long, rejuvenation, resting, relaxing. This would cost $7,000 or $8,000 to $10,000 elsewhere. And so it's a fundraiser. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I had such a good time working with all those wonderful people and had a chance to see all the from professors and medical doctors and to iron workers. We had all kinds of people come. So if you want to be there, we're filled, but we just had two places opened up. Give Luann a call. Luann, give that number.
Sure. It's 631-504-6198. Again, 631-504-6198.
Good. Now, you have anything?
I do. Piggybacking on what you were just talking about. This is from Christine in New Jersey. She said that she was at an eye doctor's reception counter and writing out a check for my copay when the receptionist, seated on the other side of the counter, asked me to move over in front of her. I stepped to the left about a foot, juggling my purse, pen, and checkbook in hand, and just stood there thinking about her odd request. As I looked up, I saw a black ball at the top of a thin pole. It was a camera, somehow positioned between her, her computer, and it was taking my picture. I hadn't even noticed it when I arrived and I signed in at the desk. I asked the girl if she was, in fact, filming me, and she said yes. Puzzled, I asked why. She said it was for insurance fraud purposes. I quickly and seriously remarked, well, that's good. Maybe it'll bring down medical costs. Afterwards, the whole incident bothered me as I kept thinking about being photographed and filmed and not being told I was being filmed. If I hadn't asked, I don't believe the receptionist would have ever told me that I was being photographed. Further, I don't believe most of the patients in the office knew either, especially if any of them had their eyes dilated, which causes blurry vision for a few hours. That camera could be very easily overlooked. It's an uncomfortable feeling to have one's privacy violated. Or was it violated? It must be legal or the office wouldn't do it. So she's asking, have you ever heard of this happening in doctor's offices? Is this the new trend?
This is not only the new trend, but expect over the next 2 to 3 years at every single street corner in America, in every town, large and small, in every office building, every movie theater, every sports arena, every place you go outside of your home will be monitored. Then expect that your television sets, all new television sets, will be able to watch and listen to every action in your home where there's a television. Then expect every single communication that's electronic to be monitored in its entirety. Then expect that there will be a large movement that's already started. It's already happened, where all students will be expected to have a code bar that they'll be able to wear somewhere on their body that will scan exactly where they're at. So at any given time, someone would be able to determine the exact whereabouts of a given student. Now they'll take it to another technological level where they'll be able to record all of the conversations of that person. Then someone else will end up, because they're working on it now, I know this. They're working on a way to determine if that student has had any alcohol or drugs, because it'll be reading their body biochemistry. They'll say it's to protect children from the use of alcohol or drugs. It isn't. It's a way of getting a lot of students into a police state. Then expect virtually your entire life to be monitored. At the point where they can control a currency that will be a computer currency, and that we're going towards getting rid of the dollar and silver as a currency, then expect them to be able to control who you are. So if they didn't want you to travel, you wouldn't be able to use currency, because everything would have to go through a card, and that card they would be able to stop. So you couldn't buy food, you couldn't get on a plane, you couldn't buy a car, you couldn't get gasoline. That's exactly where we're going. We're probably 2 years away from it being completely implemented. I've been talking about this for years. I've been showing the proof, not from some wide-eyed conspiratorial position, but from the reality of fascism. America is now Germany in the 1930s, and we're Italy in the 1920s. We have sociopaths who only care about themselves, and they're afraid of the people. Why do you think that every single person's complete electronic information is monitored and stored? They can go back and re-listen to any phone call you've had in the last 20 years. They have it. Not only do they tap your line, but anyone that you've spoken to or emailed, they go after those people and then everyone that those people have gone after too. So they have an enormous wide net because they're afraid that at some point the people will wake up and realize how they have been exploited and say no more. They want to be so militarized with people so indoctrinated that there will be few people to resist. That's their job. That's where we're going. That's where we'll go. Because we don't have anyone in Congress, not a single soul in Congress is willing to stop them. We have been sold out by the entire body politic, the entire judiciary, our complete 100% of our criminal justice system. Everywhere you look, there's only people who have aligned themselves because of the rewards they get, either current or future rewards. So in one case, you can say, well, it's inevitable that you're going to have a heart attack because you were eating for 10 people. What do you expect? It's inevitable that your house is going to be wiped off the shore, as the USA Today finally caught up with me and said 1,400 cities and communities around our shoreline are going to be in danger of being destroyed. Okay, some of us were there long ahead of everyone else catching up. So where does that leave it? It leaves us going through a rough period. There's no happy outcome at this moment. Okay?
No, it's not okay.
Well, so, if it's not okay, then take all your money out of their banks. Don't buy anything that's not made by
absolutely.
Union labor. Don't shop in their stores. Don't watch their television. Don't listen to their radio. Don't read the New York Times. Don't participate with them. That's the only recourse you have right now, because you cannot win at the political level because they have controlled the system. So it doesn't matter what good candidates we put forward, Jill Stein or Rocky Anderson or Gary Johnson or anyone else, they will defeat them.
Well, Ralph Nader just put a call out. He has posters all over the place now looking for multi-billionaires who are looking to back a third-party candidate.
That's fine, but they have 1,000 billionaires backing their candidates. Ralph, you're a little late to the party on this one. That doesn't mean it's inevitable. It just means that it's highly probable that we'll have to go through a completely locked-down police state in the next 3 years. Before people finally wake up. And if it takes a smackdown of that severe nature, then that's what it's going to take. All right?
Okay.
Thank you. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Gary.
Peter Roth, by the way, if you don't know him, he has a program, Progressive Radio Network, and it's a good one, a lot of people listening. He's the founder and director of the Heart River Center for Intuitive Healing, and his show is called Energy Stew. It's been on for the last 7 years. You can listen to it over the archive. Peter, you have something new that we were talking about last week that you were sharing with me. Tell people what it is and how they can participate in this. You're going to do an experiment.
This is brand new, and it uses the magic of numbers. Numbers are becoming more realized as algorithms, a series of numbers that actually create life. You can use it in fractal designs, put it in the computer, different algorithms, and all of a sudden you can create scenery, you can create form, you can even create human form. So we are actually math. But the essential math that we are is one set of numbers that I call our spiritual address in the universe. We're born into it, and that's our birth date. And it's very powerful. That's how we get astrology, numerology, human design, destiny cards. There's so many things that come from knowing our birth date and the way that the numbers work. So this was a system that came into me. I'm an intuitive. And all of a sudden, this whole system arrived in my mind. I didn't think it out. I had no idea. I wasn't inventing it. It just all of a sudden was sitting there and telling me, okay, this is what it is. And it's using an 8-inch circle. And you draw your birth date into the circle without any dashes or slashes, and in green. And then send me the birth date, and I draw it into my circle in blue using felted pens. And at a 10-minute agreed-upon time, you'll put your left hand on your circle. I put my right hand on my circle, both having your birth date in it. And there's a transmission that actually is magical that happens to start to decondition you back to the essence of who you're here to be. So it deconditions you away from different conditioning from your life that is messing it up. All of a sudden, this is like a stem cell treatment of your psyche that brings you back to your original self. And it works mutatively within you to transform the way you think and feel and behave in ways that were conditioned.
All right, now this is a hypothesis. It's something you're projecting, which is fine. It's always exciting to see what ideas people have.
Right.
And then how we evolve them to see if they're legitimate or not.
Right.
Now, let's, what I want to do is...
And by the way, I've been using this for a while, and people have had really great results with it.
Okay, but we're going to do it as a test.
Good.
We're going to test it.
Let's
Peter,
do it.
All right? Because as you know, my principle is first try to deconstruct your arguments to see if they're legitimate before you hold on to the construct of
it. We want reality.
Okay. So what can people do? How can they get involved? And then we have to have a feedback mechanism so people tell us whether or not it's working or not.
Sure. They can go to my website, heartriver, H-E-A-R-T, river.org, and they'll see True Life Circles. That's the name of this program. And they can click on that, and they can sign up for it. And then they'll get emails of transmission times when they can, each week, there'll be three or four transmission times of 10 minutes each, where they can select one of them, put their left hand on their circle. I'll have my right hand on their birth date on my circle, and there'll be a transmission. And over a period of maybe 10 weeks, there'll be deep work going on in their psyche.
Okay, do you have a phone number for people to call?
212-222-7748.
All right, well, we have a challenge out for individuals who would like to see whether or not Peter Roth's new ideas of how to rebalance our life on an intuitive and energy level work. Maybe they work. Maybe it doesn't. Let's
we'll
test.
Find
it, right?
Out.
We'll find out. It'll take 10 weeks, 10 minutes a week. And having done a lot of psi research at the Institute of Applied Biology for 30 years, I can tell you a lot of things didn't work that I had been told were, but other things did. So I'm always open until I'm able to see that it doesn't work. So give Peter Roth a call or go to his website, and then in 10 weeks we're going to have Peter back and have some of the people in this audience on if indeed it has worked. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you, Gary.
I'm Gary Nall, and we're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and I look forward to sharing more. And remember, we're going to be interviewing people now as hosts for a Getting Old in America show to give positive insight and inspiration, motivation, and help to people who feel that somehow their life is at an end stage, and we're going to show that's not true. And also, we also want to help people understand the richness of the documentary world by hosting a program once a week on documentaries, where, unlike other shows, we're going to show the documentary, at least half of it or a quarter of it, but then we're going to have experts in that field, not necessarily in the documentary, but experts who can talk about that topic in depth on. So it's going to be a really interesting program. We're looking for a host. Call 646-926-5422. Have a good day, everyone. Let's say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today it is debating on the open forum and considering two questions with candidates like Spitzer and Wiener running under the Democratic banner. Is it not the best time to dump the Democratic Party? And the second question is, should the U.S. government negotiate Edward Snowden's return and the charges against him?
Well, okay, I haven't addressed the Wiener issue because I think it's so debasing, and I think he is debasing. Mm. And also, if someone lies to their wife and betrays them and does it again, then why should I take for granted anything that person says? They're going to be lying whenever they have an opportunity because their basic foundational nature is dysfunctional. And why we can't see this, we should have saw it in Bill Clinton. We should have seen it in Barack Obama. We should have seen it in other people. Once you start getting to where the basic confidence of the person has been challenged, it's not going to get any better. The only thing that's going to get better is you're going to have to go through an alchemy rhythm to try to be the illusion of the compliant and supportive person to their dysfunction. And I don't believe anyone should degrade themselves when they have been lied to. So let's see what you have to say on your program on this.
Well, we see what the listeners have to say, because this is for them to respond to today.
Great. Okay. I just think Wiener shouldn't run for office. He should have his penis run for office.
It did. He was in the lead. Don't forget.
Yeah. All right. Utrecht lead in a moment. With...
of light are falling, it's twilight time. Out of the mist, your voice is calling, 'tis twilight time.